This is the part I don't usually do, so this could be fun. Today, as we gather around the table, I actually get to be the table setter. The sermon today is kind of actually it's not even a sermon, it's a meditation. Today is actually setting the table for what is to come in the month of August here at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. Today we are going to start an exploration of who we are, what we want to be, how we get there, and what it might look like in the process. Usually at this point, we would ask you to open your Bibles to a certain spot in Scripture and follow along. And if you want to get a head start on where we're going today, go ahead and open your Bibles to Hebrews 10 and let it sit to the side, because we'll eventually get there. But I actually want you to take out something different. On your way in, you were handed this bulletin. Would you take that out, please, because we're going to do something with it. I was on vacation for the last 2 weeks, and I got back, and the first thing I saw on my desk was a pile, a month full of these bulletins that Alice Walker faithfully delivers to my desk every Thursday. And I noticed as I was looking at them, there are two things on the front here that never change. On those four bulletins, those two things were the exact same. It wasn't the address. If our address changes weekly, we're in big trouble. But on the top right-hand side, y'all see what it says up there? Let's read that together. Introduce people to Jesus Christ and helping them to follow him. What is that? Oh, I heard somebody whisper it. What is that? It's a mission statement. Yeah, that's why we're here. Why does Brandywine Valley Baptist Church exist as a church? Because we want to introduce everybody that comes across our path to Jesus Christ, and hopefully that introduction will be so winsome that they devote their life to the journey of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, that mission statement is probably the same as every other evangelical church in the world, but I'd be willing to bet that what it looks like in each and every church around the world looks an awful lot different. So what does it look like here at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church? Well, take a look on that front page down to that sentences, the two sentences that begin underneath the picture. Followers of Christ is where we're going to start. And let's go ahead and read that together. Ready? Followers of Christ seek to know him, grow in him, and go into the world with him. The church helps them through public worship, classes, small groups, and opportunities to serve. Now we're going to read that first sentence again, but I got to ask you a couple quick questions first. What's another name for a follower of Christ? Disciple. Follower of anything is a disciple. I'm a disciple of Swiss cake rolls. Wherever they go, I follow. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. So, are you a follower of Christ? Yeah, you're a disciple. In this room, there we are full of disciples of Christ who are looking to follow him. Now, I want you to read this sentence with me, but would you put the emphasis where the bolding indicates? Are you ready? Followers of Christ seek to know him, grow in him, and go into the world with him. Know him, grow in him, go into the world with him. Know, grow, go. No, grow, go. No, grow, go. Do you get the feeling that those words might be important? Anybody who's involved with marketing will tell you, if you want somebody to remember something, make it as simple as you can. And maybe if you put a rhyme scheme in there, it would help as well. So why is no, grow, go important to life at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church? What does it mean to be a disciple at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church? In putting something together that allows us to all be on the same page, know, grow, go is our answer. A disciple of Jesus Christ wants to know Jesus. We want, as disciples of Jesus Christ, to grow in our relationship with Jesus. And we want to, as a result of that knowing and growing, go into the world with Jesus wherever he chooses to take us. That's what a disciple at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church looks like. That's who we are. So, when Pastor Bo next week comes and finds you in the hallway and puts his hand, well, on most of your back. Pastor Bo's got really big hands. And he asks the question of you, "So, Mike Skipper, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church?" Mike is able to say, "Well, Pastor Bo, a disciple of Brandywine Valley Baptist Church wants to know Jesus, wants to grow in a relationship with Jesus, and wants to go with Jesus into the world." Pastor Bo will be elated. But Mike could answer Pastor Bo as easily as saying to him, "Pastor Bo, no grow, go, man." And Pastor Bo would give you the biggest attaboy you'd ever get, and maybe even the Bo high five, which is more like a high 10. But that's the answer that we're trying to, as a congregation, get sunk into our DNA. Who are we as a disciple of Christ? What are we? We are people who want to know Christ, grow in Christ, and go serve Christ in the world. Now, I see a lot of you sitting there saying, "Wait a minute, you guys have reduced that far too much. That is just way too simple." And yes, if our goal was deep theology, we fell drastically short. Novels, volumes could be written trying to describe what a disciple is, and Lord, you know we've tried at times, but that's not our goal. But we did want to give you more guidance than just no, grow, and go. So if you have that bulletin with you, take a look at the second sentence down there that reads, well, before we read it together, we have to do a little explaining. It says, "The church." Who's the church? For the purpose of this sentence, it's Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. This is us. The church helps them. Who are them? Disciples. Disciples. Very, very good. So with that knowledge, let's read this next statement together. "The church helps them through public worship, classes, small groups, and opportunities to serve." Now, I need to tip our hand to you here for a little bit. We crafted these two sentences with intentionality. We purposely put the second sentence after the first sentence, and we intentionally ordered those four what we're going to call environments. We purposely ordered those four environments down there: public worship, classes, small group, and opportunities to serve, because we feel that, though not exclusively, these environments pair very well with no, grow, and go. For example, I lost you there, I apologize. For example, what is the best way at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church to get to know Jesus? We think the best way to get to know Jesus, though not exclusive, the best way to get to know Jesus here is to be a part of the public worship service. It's here that we together as a body study Scripture and interpret Scripture to each other. We sing songs of praise and encouragement to our faith. We hear testimonies of what Jesus is doing in the lives of people through baptism testimonies, or people that stand right here and say, "Hey, guess what God has done in my life?" Or, "Hey, I really need God to step into my life and do something." Public worship, we feel, is the best way that you can get to start knowing God. Not exclusively, but we also think that the best way at Brandywine Valley Baptist Church to grow in your relationship with Jesus is to become a part of a small group, is to become a part of a Christian education class. It's there where you develop the relationships that allow you to hear the Word and to explore the Word and to explore knowing Christ in greater depth. In the next 2 weeks, Pastor Matthew and Pastor Carl are going to take us much deeper into those two subjects. I'm very much looking forward to what they have to say. Remember, I'm setting the table here for what's coming in the months ahead. Exclusively, not exclusively, but we think that the best way that you, as a member of Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, can go with Jesus into the world is by engaging in our short-term mission trips and our local service opportunities. I'm really excited about what's coming at the end of this month. We're going to take two Sundays. The first Sunday is going to be a Sunday where you're going to hear the stories of the disciples of Christ who left this church over the course of the summer and went to serve wherever God chose to take them, whether it was to the Jersey Shore or to Costa Rica or to Maine or to Africa or to Hungary. You're going to hear the stories of what Jesus did in the lives of them and in the lives of the people they went to serve. This is going to be a Sunday you don't want to miss. And the last Sunday of August, we are going to take a look at what it means and the importance of serving locally in the local area in the name of Jesus Christ. It's something we are called to as disciples to do, and we're looking forward to that greatly. I'm excited about August. I'm looking forward to where God is going to take us through the month of August and how he's going to do it. But I had a friend, I've had people, and one of them was a friend of mine, come up to me and said, Sam, I know you work at a church, but why do I need to go to church? He said to me, everything I need to know about God is in the Bible. Why can't I stay home, read the Bible whenever I want, and get to know everything I can about Christ? It's all in there, right? This is the Word of God. And I don't say that lightly. And I do not doubt that everything that can be known about Christ is in the Scripture. But it's when we open the Scripture that we start to understand the plan and the design of the writer of Scripture. John Robinson was sitting in at 8:15. He said, you forgot one important example. So I'm going to lead off with this example. Why is it important that we live in community as a church? Because God himself is community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Three in one. God himself is community. You look at the Old Testament and we see Israel, a nation of people, a community, God revealing himself to the nation, performing all of these miracles and acts among the nation. The nation, when they remembered who God was, when they knew who God was, when they worshiped as God told them how to do, the nation was blessed. But when they turned their attention away from the knowledge of God and worshiped other nations' gods and fell away, the nation did not prosper. The nation split, splintered, went into exile. Fast forward into the gospel, you're going to not like what I'm about to say here. Jesus went to church. Come on now, there weren't churches in Jesus' day. You're right, what we call church probably wasn't around then because there weren't Christians yet. But what did Jesus and his disciples, his followers, do at every town they went into? Where was the first place they went? They went to the synagogues. They went to the temple. And what did they do? They taught and they discussed with the religious leaders. Jesus' pattern that he sets forth in the New Testament is, I am part of a community. I am part of that community. If you go even further into the New Testament, you look at the letters that were written there. And they were written for the church. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. Those are all letters written to the church. And even letters that are written to some of the individuals in here were written for the purpose of instruction of the church. The language is always seems to be plural. One of the examples of this I want to read to you folks today is the example in Hebrews. And I want you to listen to two things. I want you to listen to the tense. To the tenses of the pronouns. Understand that the design that's put forward here is plural. It's church, it's body, it's together. And then at the end, listen to the challenge that we're given. This is starting in verse 19, chapter 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful. And this is where it hits home to me. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I grew up in a small town in west central Minnesota, and in high school, I fell in with a gentleman who was a wonderful Bible scholar. He knew the Bible better than anyone I had met. He had a passion for the Scripture. He had a passion for teaching myself and four of my other friends the Word of God. And he had the grace and the patience to teach it to teenage boys who just were off the wall. But I found out after a couple months of studying with him that he didn't go to church. Found out later that he had been burned by somebody at a church and had decided that for him the best course of action was to not go to church. I know this probably doesn't come as a shock to most of you, but hang around a religious institution long enough, your expectations won't be met. People will not live their lives as their faith indicates they should, because we're a bunch of messed up, fallen people who are in much as need of grace as the next person. But he chose, instead of seeking forgiveness and seeking reconciliation, to walk away. So, you can imagine what a teenage boy who knows that this man is a man of God wants to go to his parents and say, "Mom, Dad, this man over here is a godly man, and he doesn't go to church. Why should I?" Now, I wasn't seeking a high ground here. I was seeking to just sleep in on Sunday morning because I was tired and wanted to be able to sleep in. And their answer, which of course I didn't appreciate because all I heard was the no, you're going to church, their answer to me was, "Do you realize that he's missing out on the fellowship of the saints, on the communion of the saints? He's missing out on the body life." At the time, I didn't understand that. I didn't know what that meant. But I've come to appreciate that. When he was excited, when he was happy, when he had joy in his life, who was there to share it with him? More importantly, when he had a burden to carry, who was there carrying it with him? I have seen God move in this church so powerfully when the church gathers around people who are suffering from loss. Whether you're burying someone, grieving the loss of a marriage, God brings the church around these people. And he works through the folks you'd least expect in ways you could never imagine or prescribe. And the body is there. And we see the knowledge of Christ lived out among us in ways that only God could do, and that only he could get the glory. Now, I'm grateful because my friend, after this season of life, went back to that church, and he reconciled with the people that had hurt him. And he said, "You know, I missed the body life. I missed the encouragement. I missed there being someone who was in my life to challenge my interpretation of Scripture. I missed being accountable to people. I missed the sacraments. I missed seeing moms and dads stand up front and dedicate their children to the Lord. And I missed making that promise that the body makes to the families to say, we will show you Christ's love in our life together. I missed seeing the testimonies in the baptistry. I missed hearing the testimonies of Christ working in the lives of people in ways that he could never work in my life, but ways that bless me and teach me and reveal to me the nature of God." He said one of the most powerful instances for him was when he came back to church, and for the first time, around the table, sitting across from people that he's known for years and loved, and sitting across the table from people that had hurt him deeply, but that had been reconciled, and they broke bread together. And he remembered in that moment that it was this story that applied to everybody who has faith in Christ. That on the night he was betrayed, Christ took bread in his hands, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body broken for you." In the same way he took the cup, blessed it, gave it to his friends, his followers, and said to them, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many, that sins may be forgiven. As often as you drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me." That's our story. His story, my story, our story. That's the story of the church. And we are charged with the keeping of it.